Well, good morning. It's exciting to be here. It's exciting to be able to preach this morning. And one thing I want to say before I get into the sermon, actually, if you've got an order of worship, you can turn it over. And on the back is got a, it has an outline that you can follow along with and fill in some of the blanks and just kind of help you follow and remember. But our VBS is coming up, and this is we've already announced it, we've already talked about it. But I just want to say this is a great opportunity to not only to serve, not only to do a great work for the community and to reach out, and it's one of our four big deals a year that we do to try and try to introduce people to the Highland Hills ministry. But for each one of us, it's an opportunity to connect. So if you are if you're new to Highland Hills, if you haven't ever experienced VBS before, please see the sign up sheets out there in the foyer and find something to do and just sign up. And no matter how big or how small, no matter how much you think you know or don't know, I wouldn't be able to do it. It is super easy, and it's a great way to get involved and connect. And you don't have to be here every single night. It's great if you are, but if you can only give one or two nights or whatever, just get involved, because I know that it's a great way to form those relationships that lead to us working together to do what it is that we are called to do here. This morning, as we continue talking about taking our next step, and as we, kind of continue in our conversation about growing the kingdom, the last couple of weeks we've been talking about the fields that are ripe for the harvest. And if you've got your Bible, stay in Matthew 13, 1-9, because that's going to be a passage that we talk about here in just a little bit. But this morning, I want to talk about not just evangelism and not just the harvest, but something that we can all wrap our minds around. Because one of the things that I feel like that I witness in church is too much of our spiritual lives take place in this setting. And what I want to do as a preacher is expand our horizons, and not only to always be pushing and expanding our vision of God through Scripture, but I always want to push and expand our vision of our own spiritual lives through Scripture and through just meditating on and thinking about and praying about, and then opening up the Word and seeing how does our spiritual life, how does our experience of God go from this room to everything that's not in this room? Because really what we want to do is not only to express our love for God in here, and not only to worship while we're here, not only to fellowship here, but what we want to do is take what we are doing here and allow it and actually enable it to affect everything else about our lives. And in turn, what I want us to think about is the concept of redeeming our days. Because we're not always here. We're not always in this place. We're not always gathered together. We're not always going to be singing and praying and listening to sermons and fellowshipping together in this place. Most of our lives happens outside of here. So the next step that I want us to take is that redeeming our everyday life for the kingdom and harvesting in that capacity. You know, we've talked about already in this sermon series, and I want to just kind of go back as we go forward, is not everyone is a door-to-door salesman. Do you ever have those people that knock on your door? A lot of times they're selling, they're selling steaks or doing whatever it is, those, that knock on the door, and hey, is the man of the family home? And I'm like, well, no, she's not. She's at work right now, but but they always do door-to-door. How do people do that? Now, I've been in sales before, and, I sold copiers at one point, and then I sold steel at one point, and there's a certain degree of nerve that you have to walk up to somebody or to go into a business and say, hey, can I talk to you about your copier? No, thank you. Have a great day. There's that rejection factor. There's that, I don't know these people, but I got to go talk to them anyway. And I think that attitude or that concept keeps us from harvesting. It keeps us from evangelizing. It keeps us from living our faith on a daily basis. But not everyone is that. I'm to the point where I've been in full-time ministry for enough years to where I can do that. I can just walk up and start a conversation with somebody about their spiritual life. Now, I'm a preacher. They sort of halfway expect that, so it's really not that big. But it's taken me a while to get to that point. But not everybody is like that, and not everybody has to be like that. I want us to just really get this concept of it. We don't all have to be this door-to-door salesman type evangelist harvester. It's not that way. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, the Bible says that it is He, talking about God. Ephesians is a letter that's written to Christians that are dealing with all sorts of issues, a lot of great things and a lot of problems. And one of the problems that he had was people not working together, people not collectively doing, not redeeming their everyday. And he said, look, it's God who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors, and some to be teachers. He said, look, everybody is not doing the same thing in the kingdom. But everybody with all of these different gifts, with some with apostolic gifts, and some with prophetic gifts, and some with door-to-door salesman gifts, and some with teaching gifts, and some with shepherding gifts, those, all of them come together, and he keeps on going. He says, because they all do this to build up the kingdom, to build up all of those who would be in the kingdom, and to bring all of those who would be in the kingdom into it. He said, everybody's doing their specific unique part. So just because you're not a door-to-door salesman, just because you're not a preacher, you can redeem whatever it is that you're doing with the gifts that God has given you to take the next step and to harvest what is in those fields. Because Jesus has said, look, they're out there. The time, remember how we started all this? The time is now. We're not waiting on any other piece to fall into place. Everything has taken place to enable kingdom growth and to enable the harvest of those souls that He so dearly loves. But we just have to understand that we all have different roles. We all have different capacities within the kingdom to get to the same place, to get to the harvest. So what does it look like to redeem your days? The first thing that we want to do is in this kind of getting to the point is evaluate what you do on a daily basis. At some point, we all have to be these meditators on what is it that I do? How is it that I can do that? In 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and 31, we're told that whatever you do, do to the glory of God. No matter what that is. If you're a preacher, preach to the glory of God. If you're an engineer, engineer to the glory of God. If you're a public school teacher, teach to the glory of God. If you're a doctor, physician, what do you say? Heal people to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do to the glory of God. How do you do that? How do you sell homes to the glory of God? Well, you do it in a way that understands I'm not really a real estate agent. I am God's representative to this market. And when people see me, what they see is what it looks like when Jesus sells someone a home. I'm an attorney. How would that do that to the glory of God? Well, you're not necessarily a lawyer. You are God's representative in the legal world. And what you do is that you show people what it looks like when Jesus practices law. Well, I'm a teacher. How does that? Well, you're not necessarily a teacher. You're God's representative to the educational system. And what you're doing is you're showing people what it looks like when Jesus teaches and cares for kids. I'm just a businessman. No, you're not. You're God's representative to the financial business world. And you show people what it looks like when Jesus cuts a deal. Everything to the glory of God. So that when people see us interacting, when people see us doing business, when people see you, whatever it is that you do, they know that there is a spirituality, there is a higher power. And in the later on in the Bible, Peter's going to tell us, and then when people come to you and say, why are you so like you are? You can tell them, let me tell you about my Jesus. Let me tell you, because they will. If we look like everyone else, if our days are just as lost and just as fallen, if our days are just as dark as everyone else's, they will see no difference. We won't be those shining stars as Paul tells the Philippians to be. And no one will care to say, why are you like you are? Because they'll know we're like we are because we're as dark as they are. We're as lost as the lostest out there. But if we do everything, if we evaluate what we do on a daily basis and realize that I can do this to the glory of God, I can be honest and upstanding and forthright, I can be positive and godly and spiritual, I can be holy because He is holy, people will ask, and I will tell them. So not only do we evaluate what we do on a daily basis, but we determine how we can harvest where we are, how we can do this. How can I harvest at school, in the marketplace? How can I harvest at the hospital? How can I harvest at the office? How can I? Because Jesus has already told me that whenever I go to work, there are people there that are ripe for the harvest. He says, whenever I go to school, there are people there that are ripe for the harvest. Whenever I go to the store or the pool or the country club or wherever I am, there are people there ripe for the harvest. How can I do that? The key to harvest, the key is relationships. For the next 7 minutes or so, we're just going to talk about relationships. It's not any tactic of saying, you know, find somebody in this situation because they're going to really be receptive to the gospel. And, you know, because I've heard a lot of gimmicks. I've heard a lot of gimmicks is that, you know, if you, you know, those lawyers on TV, and I have no problem with lawyers at all, so don't, you know, have your cousin email me who's a lawyer. But, you know, those guys on TV, have you been injured in an accident? You know something, you know, they want business. So you know what they do? They have these gimmicks to try to get business. That's not what this is about. We're not trying to find the lowest common denominator and then try to capitalize on that with some kind of a gimmick. It's all about relationships. It's not a mass marketing thing. Harvesting is a onesie, twosie kind of experience. It's not like we're going to go and bring in this mass, you know, I'm going to bring in a mass of people. If I, and I'll just tell you, as the preacher, as your preacher here, if I personally reach two or three people a year, I consider that a success. If I reproduce myself in the kingdom two or three times a year, that's a success. Now you're thinking, well, Shane, what are you talking about? We expect more out of you. Well, don't. Don't. Because that it takes time to cultivate relationship. It takes time to get to know, because it is I promise you, it's a onesie, twosie, little bit at a time. It's all about relationships. It's not a gimmick. It's not a mass marketing appeal. See, the neat thing is that if each one of us had that attitude that I'm going to reach one or two or three people this year, then we would have a problem because we wouldn't have a place to sit. But that's what that looks like. You don't have to reach the world. You got to reach one person. It's about relationships. The first thing that you have to ask in this relationship is, has there been a harvest in your life? Remember in Matthew chapter 13, what Jake read, where he talks about the word being spread, the word being sown. It says a farmer goes into a field and sows a seed. He scatters the seed, and he talks about the different kind of places that he scatters it. Do you notice that he doesn't talk about the seed? Because the seed's the same thing. Later on, Jesus explains this. He said the seed is the word. The seed is the word of God, the gospel, the good news. And he throws it here, birds eat it. Because some people, they hear it and they're like, what does that mean? What are you talking about? And then the devil comes and he plucks it away, he takes it away from them. And then some people, the seed, the word of God, the gospel is sown in their heart, and their heart's full of thorns and full of all kinds of weeds and brambles and stuff. And they get excited about it, but then they're choked out by everything else going on. And then there's some who have this rocky soil, these rocky hearts, these lives that are so full of everything else that there's no room for God to grow. And then there's some, they're called the good soil. You know what that word means? We've talked about this in classes, and I've told the good soil. Write it in your Bible, circle good, draw an arrow over to the margin. The good soil is prepared soil. I mean, the farmers in the room will tell you, and I love Jesus's, he talks about, farming, and he talks about the kingdom as a farm and a vineyard and all this growing because it matches so well. But the farmers will tell you that if you want a good crop to grow, it's not about the quality of the soil. It's about the preparedness of the soil. Because you can have great fertile ground and be full of weeds. And you can take good seed and throw it into that great fertile ground of a field with all of those weeds, and a little bit's going to grow, but it's probably going to get choked out. It's probably going to get overgrown. Good soil. Not the quality. You can't be thinking, well, I guess I don't have a good heart. I guess I'm not a good person. It's about being prepared. It's about getting to a place where the Word of God can grow. The reality of God can take root, can overcome. You know, the neat thing about growing stuff that I've learned is that, yes, even though when you start growing something, like a good crop of some, whatever it is, you got to keep the weeds out, right? You got to work, keep the weeds out. But then you get to a point where the plant gets so big that it kind of keeps the weeds out on its own, doesn't it? Where it gets so that it covers the ground and there might be some that spring up, but not like it was in the beginning. Not like it was when you get to where the plant itself is blocking all of the light and all the, you know, and you've got all those weeds out of there and it's grown to this point where it kind of takes care of some of that on its own. That's what being prepared and allowing it to grow, and then it just gets easier and easier and easier as that plant gets bigger and bigger. Well, the question is, has there been a harvest in our lives? Has the Word of God grown to a point in our life where it's pushed out all of the cares of life, that it's overtaken where the thorns used to be, where the confusion, yes, we didn't understand it, but we plowed that ground, we broke that hardened heart, and we allowed the Word of God to get deep inside of us to where it takes over, and that's the only thing, that's the most important thing in our life. Then and only then will anyone want to know about the hope that we have? When there's a harvest in our life. You see, it's about relationships. Here's another example. In John chapter 6, Jesus feeds 5,000 people. He's preaching. He's talking. A bunch of people follow him. And they get hungry. And they have no food. They haven't prepared for this. They don't know, what are we going to do? Jesus says, feed them. The apostles say, how are we going to do this? Jesus gets a few loaves, a couple of fishes. We know the story. He prays, and every one of those people are fed with just a little bit of bread and just a couple of fish. The next day, they come looking for Jesus again. I mean, they're excited. We have found this guy. He's going to take care of us. He's our king. He's our Messiah. And they come to him, and they're like, Jesus, 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 you're the man. We love you. And Jesus says, you're not coming to me because you love. You're coming to me because yesterday you ate and you got your fill. And today, guess what happens? You're hungry again. You don't love me. You love the all-you-can-eat fish and chips buffet. You don't love me. You love what you perceive that I can do for you. And so Jesus has this mega church I mean, the first mega church in the history of churches. And you know what he does? He runs them off. Because he knows this is not a mass marketing thing. It's a onesie, twosie kind of situation. Because all this mass of people, you don't know me. You don't love me. You just know and love what you think I can do for you. So if you want to know me, if you want to get close to me, then let's talk about a little bit more. Forget him. He turns to the apostles and he says, you going to go too? I love this line. Where else is there to go? I mean, you look straight at where are we going to go? You have the words of life. He said this crowd, and it had distilled down to the ones who stuck around to listen. You know why Jesus spoke in parables? There was a point in his ministry where he spoke no parables. Then he got fed up and he said, I'm going to speak in parables and that's it. And from the rest on, read Matthew 13 on. Jesus gives no teachings outside of parables. If you want to know what I'm talking about, I'm going to say something. You're not going to understand it. And you're going to have to come and talk to me one-on-one. And then I got you. So how many times have you had a conversation with somebody and they leave, they're like, oh yeah, okay, great. And they walk away and you're like, they have no idea what I'm talking about. But they don't care. They don't care enough about you or what you're saying to get involved. But Jesus knew that those who wanted to know, they would, because, oh, it's like a field. Yeah, I see. Oh, a pearl. Oh, okay. Oh, it's like someone who finds something in a field and then they go and say, yes, the kingdom is like that. Thank you, Jesus. They walk off and he's like, you have no idea. And then the others would come and say, what are you talking about? Okay, let's talk a little more. This is what I'm talking about. Let me explain this to you. Because those who you know, they just want to give off the perception that, I'm in. They're really not. It's about relationships. It's about, let's talk a little more. It's about, hey, where do you go to church? Oh, I go over here. Oh, great. Okay, I'll come with you sometime. Okay, no, you won't. It's about relationships. It's about, hey, let's talk about God. Let's talk about our spirituality. But there has to be a harvest in our life. Have we come to the point where we're not coming to Jesus? Because if we don't, he's going to take away all of our toys. We're not coming to Jesus because if we don't, we won't get fed anymore. We won't get the food. We won't get all this. You know, I belong to Jesus because he's going to take care of me. And then when I die, hopefully, you know, I will meet him in that big fish and chip buffet in the sky. Or has there been this harvest in our life where we are producing? What are we producing? Are we cultivating relationships? Not only we have to ask, has there been a harvest? But are we cultivating relationships? In Philippians 1 and 27, Paul says, whatever you do, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel, worthy of the good news. Whatever happens in your life, whatever people do to you, whatever circumstances come along, will you act like you know the good news that I have completely told you? Because that's how we cultivate relationships. We act in a way, no matter what's going on, no matter how bad, no matter how good, no matter how much of a failure, no matter how much of a success, I live, I conduct, I do everything in a manner that's worthy of the good news, that I live a life so that people can tell it isn't just about what happens to him or her. In fact, it's not about that at all. Because they have this good news. They've got this gospel. Turn over to Galatians chapter 5, and with this we will end. Galatians chapter 5. All right, which one of you moved Galatians? Okay, there it is. It's not in alphabetical order. In Galatians chapter 5, you want to know what a harvest, has there been a harvest in here? Talks about the acts of the sinful nature, and you can read those. They're obvious, he says. So the actions, you know, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. But the fruit of the Spirit that are less obvious. Yeah, I mean, that's implied, but it's in there. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is less obvious, and it's love, it's joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against them, there is no law. Now, of those right there, which one of those do you think people don't like to be around? I mean, do people in the world really despise those who love them? No. You know how I know that? Because Jesus says, is it such a big deal if you love those who love you? Even sinners do that. Even pagans do that. Jesus said that if you love people, generally they're going to love you back. And that's not that big a deal. But he says for us, we love those who hate us. So we know Jesus told us that love is, you know, it's something that even people in the world, they want to be around. Joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faith, all of those things. Are any of those repulsive to anyone? Well, as we are cultivating relationships with people, as they get close to us, and they get close to, and they experience the fruit of the Spirit of God that's in our life, the closer that, you know, when they see from afar, when they're far off, and they see this person, or they, you know, think of yourself as this tree with all this fruit hanging on it. Hungry people are going to see that and like, oh, I'm going to go get some of that. And they walk over there. As they're walking over to the tree, as they get closer to the fruit, they're going to get closer to the root of that, which is Jesus Christ, which is our goal, which is what we want to do. So we're allowing this harvest in us. We're cultivating the Word of God to grow in us to where that He is, we are His to the point, not just because of what He gives us, but because of who He is. And He has the words of life. And we allow Him to produce in us this fruit, this goodness, this love, this joy, this patience, this kindness. And it brings people to us, and we cultivate these relationships with them. And the more they get to know us, the more they get to know our Jesus. And the more they get to know Jesus, the more they want to know about Him. And at that point, we are producing in kingdom economy. This morning, has there been a harvest in your life? Has there been that harvest? Have you cultivated the ground of your heart? Have you prepared your heart to receive the Word of God and to allow it and only it to grow? If you haven't, you can. You can confess Christ as Lord and Savior. You can be baptized in this watery grave and be brought up out of that, a brand new creation. If you've been through that and you just realize, you know what, there hasn't been a harvest in my life. There hasn't been the Word of God grow in my heart. And I want that to change. And I need the prayers of this church. I need the prayers of these shepherds. And I need the prayers of my brothers and sisters. Can you help me? I want to know Jesus more. You can do that. Whatever your need is, whatever your heart is this morning, if you want to let us know, join me at the front as together we stand and as we sing.